Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting, broadcasting, broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world, to the world, to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network. Rainbow Soldier Channel, Sports in Depth is the show. It's a Sports in Depth boxing finale tomorrow. Amanyan, the big one at the Garden. But first of all, John Coltrane in the back line train. Dear Lord, that's right. Dear Lord, we thank you and you alone and your darling Jesus for another day. We thank you, dear Lord, for the little things we so largely take for granted. Give us a lot what we want, dear God, but give us what we need. And we thank you that you fulfill our needs. Blessings. Unforeseen, undeserved, forthcoming, and that will always be there, provided by you, our one and only Lord and Savior. We thank you, Lord, that as the man once said, although we do not live on Park Avenue, by the grace of God, we don't live on a Park Avenue. The lady said you're God all by yourself. And we thank you, Father God, in the name of your darling son Jesus. Amen. It is a boxing special. They are here. They are gathering. They are coming in the masses, especially the Latin contenders. Hold on. Here they come now. The Sports in Depth crew, baby. Lady A leading the way. Destino Baby Lois.
Que pasa?
Mel Cosell. And none other than Harold Weston Jr. It is tomorrow. That is sold out. Madison Square Garden. We have a revenge match. How we got to do too much noise, but it's a fight that the boxing fans evidently want to see, and a fight that seems had to be. And Iron Barkley had a very unique twist on why this fight had to come about. And how he said that it was a revenge fight that had to happen. An opportunity for Cotto to not only not more than redeeming himself, but getting a chance to set the record straight and do things the right way, Harold.
Well, I feel like no matter how you look at it, in any man's life, you always want to try to make a real point in another man's life where you say, hey, you know, I whip your butt, you know, the first time, but I whip your butt the second time. That last point of life of saying I whip you is the key point of you being victorious in our society and in life. Men are like that. You know, women don't understand that. You could have beat me the first time, but if I beat you the second time, that's overcome the first time. And I think that Cotto is more geared to now whipping this man for this fight than what happened to second time. We all know that he has, you know, had something in his glove, and we understand that he has not been victorious in all his last four or five fights he had since they found out his glove has been loaded. And now that is, Cotto can beat him tomorrow night, I think Cotto is going to be the most satisfying man in his life, that he said, I'd be the man that tried to load his glove and tried to harm me in his with the glove that he had on. I mean, you know,
it reminds me of that. I remember that song that Tony Bennett sung, I Want to Be Around. And one of the verses is, that's when I'll discover that revenge is sweet. Where on tomorrow night, well, like this, it changes, your butt I will beat. And there's no question about it. Harold, there's a lot of noise in the background there.
All right, so, let me get out of here because I'm in the club. So I'm going to get out and I'm going to go outside for y'all.
Okay, so you're going to call us back?
Yeah, no, I hang out a little bit.
You mean Harold Weston hangs out?
Go ahead.
Harold, before you go, who's your pick tomorrow and why?
Cotto. I think Cotto's going to win by you're going to stop him by a cut, or you're going to win by a decision. Because he looked good in the first six or seven rounds, believe me. But the fact is that those loaded gloves started telling on him. He just really, nobody could have taken the pounding of something in somebody else's glove, of hitting him constantly on the same spot and not giving up. I mean, that was a lot of pressure Cotto took. But I give him a lot of courage that he went to the 11th round before he got stopped. I really did.
Would you be surprised in some way, shape, or form if Margarito would find a way and win this fight?
You say I wouldn't find no way to win this fight?
No, would you be surprised if somehow Margarito would win this fight? I mean, is there any way he can win this fight?
No. Margarito has lost his last three or four fights because of now they have found out he has nothing in his glove. Everybody's been watching the taping of his glove, and you have noticed he ain't knocked nobody out since that point. And that tells you that if he hasn't knocked nobody out in the last four or five fights, what does that tell you about his punching power?
Tomorrow, Harold, before the fight, they're going to have some luminaries, they say. Larry Holmes.
I don't know who they are. I really don't.
Oh, can I just say something, Doc?
They are not Sugar Ray Leonard. They are not Ray Leonard. They are not Harold Weston. Not Alfredo Benitez. They're not Juan Laporte. They're not. Now, I don't know who the hell they are. Who are they?
Tomorrow they're going to have Evander Holyfield, Larry Holmes, Larry Holmes, and Carlos Ortiz. Now there's no question that they're also going to have Jerry Cooney there. Jerry Cooney shouldn't be in the same league with Ortiz, Holyfield, and Holmes.
No, no way in the world. I mean, that's disgraceful to those guys.
Doc.
What they accomplished. Anyway, Jerry shouldn't be nowhere with anybody with the world champ. That's like me being somewhere with all the world champ. I mean, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And I should be over Jerry. So, I mean, so what are you telling me?
All right, well, Harold, we're going to be here for another hour or so join us back in if you want to.
Okay, y'all have a lot of fun.
Bye, Harold.
Yeah,
hey,
we're going to be here for another 60 minutes, huh?
Mr. Howard, where you going? You going to hang out? You're supposed to be in training.
I am in training. I'm just trying. I'm trying to get my lunch right now.
Well, Howard, we're going to be here, so call back another 15, 20 minutes. We're going to be here waiting for you.
All right,
okay.
Y'all be strong. Talk to you
okay.
Next.
Right. Take care. Good.
Lady A, the guy that's in Margarito's corner, Robert Garcia, who was in Don Hernandez's corner. You got a chance to talk to Garcia. Let's go back and listen to that interview that you had with Garcia. As tomorrow night, Margarito, Cotto 2, Madison Square Garden, sold out Madison Square Garden. Lady A, the first lady in sports, on Sports in Depth, sat down and talked to the trainer of Antonio Margarito. Lady A, take it away.
Lady A on Sports and Death with Robin Garcia here at Madison Square Garden at the pre-fight. Robert, you've had a few distractions now at my camp. First it was this Margarito's eye that they were talking about. And then they went and they were talking, you know, you guys have been kind of going back and forth with the venue. Has that been a distraction at all for Tony?
It wasn't a distraction at all. You know, Tony was never stopped planning. He kept planning because he knew the fight was going to happen. He knew the fight was going to happen in New York. They made us come and we missed the day of training, but we just made it up the next day. You know, it was tiring, you know, having to fly in and fly back to Mexico, but distraction, it was not a distraction at all.
Anything different training wise for you guys this fight?
Yeah, well, we came to Mexico with something that he had never done before. The mountains of Mexico was, you know, it was a great training camp. His condition is great. His speed is much better. So those are the differences.
Training with Brandon Rio kind of brought a little light to his training camp. He's a very humorous guy. Tell us a little bit about Brandon and how he fits into the training camp.
Well, you know, they became good friends and they love each other. They support each other. And Brandon is fighting the same card, so he was there getting ready for his fight, but at the same time support. They're just supporting each other. They love each other, and we have great training camp.
What can we look forward to now from Robert Garcia? Now for the holidays, Christmas is coming up. What do you plan on doing for the holiday season?
Well, in reality, you know, I think I'm gonna go back to training camp because I can't only fighting February 11th. So I might miss the holidays because it's part of my job. It's part of boxing. I have a couple of guys fighting January 11th. So like I said, we're gonna be busy during the holidays.
Well, maybe Santa Claus will give you a good gift now for the holidays. Thank you very much, Lady A Sports and Depth with Robert Garcia. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soldier Channel. Sports and Depth is show a Sports and Depth fight special finale tomorrow, and it'll be the last big fight of the year. It'll also be the first big fight in the new Madison Square Garden. Well, actually, it's been renovated. And Lady A, you know, your thoughts and reflections, you talked to Garcia, you saw the hype, you saw the disdain. I mean, one of the things that Miguel Cotto emphatically implied, and the first thing that Antonio Margarito tried to deny or imply that was not so, criminal. Lady A, I remember Cotto said, I'm going to hablar en español so I can make sure that he understands what I'm saying. Looking at that moment, your thoughts on Miguel Cotto not only calling Margarito a criminal, but validating that he is a criminal. Lady A?
Yeah, I thought it was a moment where a lot of the press and a lot of the fans got a chance to hear Cotto's side. Finally, it seems like he really is talking about redemption at the fullest. You know, it seems like he's going to – the way he was – his body language, he was all business at the press conference. He didn't seem to sway from his thoughts or anything that he had said in Face Off on HBO. He kind of stuck to the same thing, and his premise, I think, was still basically referring back to the gauze, the pictures of the gauze on the hands of Margarito pre Mosley fight, and then he also referred to a picture that everyone saw on Face Off, where you still saw a little bit of a red spotting on the gauze that was removed from his gloves. And he said, if your hands never went inside the gloves, how could you have even had that mark on your gauze? He just kept referring to that over and over again. He said that he was that the Mexicans should be humiliated at the fact that he even considers himself a boxer. Of course, Margarito's response was, you know, and if anyone saw Face Off, was that he hits like a girl, you know, but He keeps sticking to the fact, Margarito, that is, that he did nothing criminal. To me, just the body language that Cotto kind of exuded at the press conference, to me, stated that he's going to let his hands do the talking. He walked out of the press conference. The press didn't even have a chance to really even interview him, which to me, you know, can be viewed as being unprofessional, but it got to the point where at the end where they were going to actually stand face-to-face, Aram stood between them because it seemed like Cotto was just like a man possessed, ready to take his head off. So in my view, it just seems like they're gonna be. It's gonna be a war in there on tomorrow evening. So
in your view too, can Margarito win this fight? I mean, everybody's leaning toward Cotto. Everybody sees Cotto winning this fight. Can Margarito win this fight, lady?
Well, I'll tell you this: at minimum, it's a fight he has to win to prove himself in the eyes of those that feel there's that shadow of doubt, you know, that he did have plaster in his gloves when he fought him. You keep referring back to the fact that, hey, it takes time for plaster to harden. When you look at the video and you see how badly he was being hit, and even if you listen, I mean, a lot of fight fans sometimes say, you know, you got to see that. You got to listen to the sounds of when he was getting hit. And it just, he said, yeah, I felt like I was getting hit by concrete. He stated that before. Like, it was like something I never felt in my life. And this is a guy that also fought Pacquiao, who now they're saying is one of the hardest hitters in boxing.
I mean, I think the question, you know, here is that, I mean, Pacquiao, not one of the hardest hitters, but still.
Well,
guys,
he's felt. Well, when I say that, Doc, hold on a second. I say it more to the fact that what he's felt, you know, Cotto.
No, I mean,
and,
what
know,
I'm saying is the key here is that his feeling was something unnatural. I don't think Pacquiao's
right.
ever been seen as a
right.
hard hitter. But he,
right.
well, there was something unnatural, something unreal, something disarray. And now, Dusty, she said
yeah.
something here, and I'm going to tell you. If Margarito wins this fight, is he redeemed?
He's redeemed, and I want to add something to what Lady A is saying. I mean, I want to compliment what she's saying, but I'm going to go a little further. But it will redeem him in the eyes of the fact that he was clean when he beat Cotto. That's the redemption that he's looking for.
Mm.
Because, like, all this theatrics, you know, this is like, this week has been like Super Bowl week, man. Media and hype and all that nonsense. Is going to redeem him in the eyes of the fact that he was clean, because now you saw the theatrics where, so I wasn't there, but I read where Bob Arum had a briefcase with his tapes being sealed, was it, under lock and key, and would not open up, they would not be opened up until tomorrow when it's wrap-up time. And so if he beats Miguel Cotto, well, then he says, hey, I was clean the first time, I was clean the second time. I mean, and so now, well, I just want to grandfather the situation where I've been doing a lot of research, and actually Miguel Cotto did not even come up with these allegations after he got beat. He just said, and then Vocero, he says, well, you know, his... that I could understand how hard he was hitting me, and he let it go.
Mm-hmm.
He's really a hard hitter. He didn't make an accusation. He's really a hard hitter. But when the Mosley situation came up, that's when his mind began to generate wondering. I said, man, wait a minute, maybe this guy did have dirt. Now, yes. Dirt because of the fact I told you a long time ago, Doc. I said, look, you know, I saw some tapes of pictures of Margarito's tapes when he fought Cotto, and they were all bloodied. Yeah, some time ago, you may have forgot, but I told you that, and nothing was said until now. The fight was signed until it was proven that he was dirty.
He was caught by
now. Right now, with he. His constant denial, this again is where you got to be in that business to know the fallacy of when a man denies, a person denies, not a man, because he was not a man if he was a cheater, or a person denies that he did something wrong. Because I sat in front of my trainer for 11 years, man, and I know what the heck he put on my hands.
Now, Dusty, hold on, Dusty. You know, because I was talking to a trainer yesterday, and I was stunned. I'm not going to mention the trainer. I asked him, was it possible? And I remember doing an interview where Tom Hauser said he had spoke to a couple of reputable trainers who said that it was possible that the trainer could put something in the fighter's hands and he not be aware of it. And this guy I spoke to yesterday
That's
said,
nonsense.
Said,
go ahead, Doc. I'm sorry.
I mean, listen, you're a fighter, so you're reacting off instinct. I mean, you're a guy who's been there. So you're saying, hey, it's impossible. Now, he said something to me that I was aghast. He said Margarito probably was asleep while his trainer was wrapping his hands.
Hold on, Dusty. This is a one-hour comedy situation. I just want to pose a question, Dusty. I mean, I've had people take my hands. I've had people take my hands before.
Hold on. Everybody, this is Sports and Jeff. This is not Saturday Night Live.
But that response to you, Doc, sounds like Saturday Night Live. Go ahead. Go ahead, Lady A. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've had my hands taped before. And my question to you is, in all your experience, and Harold's not on here either, but my question was is, when you look at the way when they took off his gloves, right?
Yeah.
And you look at the way his hands were. There was one photo, and I don't recall what fight it was. I don't know if it was the Mosley fight or it was another fight. And they had, I don't know if you remember, they had taken a picture of him, and he was being held up, and there was a spot on his hand. When you look at his wraps, I've never seen tears on gauze like that before.
There you go.
My question to you is, as a fighter, because I've had my hands taped, and I've never, once your hands are in a glove, how the hell are they going to tear like that?
Let me tell you something.
You know, the way they were ripped are not equivalent
to a regular tear. It's back to what you said. When Cotto got hit, there's something wrong and unnatural about that whole situation, Dusty.
Exactly. Let me say this,
if I make this quickly, okay?
Yeah. Oh, Cotto, hey, what's up?
Mel Cosell.
Athletes are meticulous, Doc and panel. Athletes are meticulous, especially pro athletes, in their preparation, okay? They are creatures of habit. And very superstitious in their preparation. There is no way on God's green earth that Cotto couldn't tell a difference in the feeling of the gauze and the taping of his hands. Athletes are absolutely meticulous in their preparation, creatures of habit. They do things the same way, basically, or most athletes the same way all the time or as close to it as possible. So you're not going to tell me that he didn't feel the slightest bit of difference.
Of course.
And the taping of his hands and the feeling of those gloves.
Ronnie, hold on. Are you telling me he was lying?
You want to joke?
Are you telling me? I am telling you. Are we questioning integrity here?
Look, Doc, the fact of the matter is that, yes, Lady A, and I'm supporting what they're saying, but I'm going to just a little level higher. Here, Margarito's tapes were being hands were being taped with the gauze. As he went two or three rounds, then the pad, the prepared pad was placed as he then, Capetillo was trying to wind those pads. You mean to tell me he doesn't know something extra is on his hands? Nonsense. Number two, when you take your gloves off, ironically enough, unless there's dye inside the gloves, those gauzes are still clean. There's no marking. There's nothing. There's still brand new. In fact, you know, I used to use that gauze when I went back to the gym and trained with them. I used to retape them from the cut when the trainer cut them off. I used to take them to the gym, wrap them up with adhesive and use them. Instead of my regular bandages,
but my question,
brand new.
Doc, just one more question I want to ask Dusty too. You know, one more thing, Dusty. One more question.
Go ahead.
Listen. And just after this is the last question for Dusty. Understand that? This is the last question for Dusty.
Okay. No. Because you know, obviously, you know, fighting professionally or whatever. I mean, like I said, I've sparred here and there, but Dusty even knows his question. My thing is, isn't it common practice? As a professional, okay, because now we know that Nassim went in there and he viewed him being taped. Now, there was somewhat of a controversy by Evangelista not going in and watching him being taped, and then vice versa, okay, at the time of the fight between the first fight between Margarito and Cotto, that they said that no one from the other locker room was watching them being taped, okay, and vice versa. So my question is, isn't that common practice? I mean, who's to blame here then?
You hit the nail on the head.
But who's to blame? Is it Evangelista?
Okay.
Is it, you know, obviously the blame has to lie on one of the two.
Okay,
you know?
Hold on, Dusty.
You know what?
Let me give you the whole scenario, Lady A.
Hold on. Now, that could be. Now, Dusty, a lot of that could be, and Lady A and Rooney, a lot of that could be because at that time, if I'm correct, I mean, and you read LDS, at that time, Carlo was running everything, and therefore, a lot of that has to fall on him.
I'm saying,
shouldn't he have told somebody to be down there because he was running?
I think his uncle was gone.
Doc, let me give you my children the whole gospel.
Mm-hmm.
It is mandatory.
Thank you.
By commission rules.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought.
To have an inspector,
mm-hmm.
which is the primary person there,
mm-hmm.
and as a courtesy or visit from the other corner. To watch that the tapes are hands are taped according to the commission rules.
Okay,
and,
okay.
And
so you're telling
standards.
Me. Hold on.
What you're telling me here, Dusty, is
that not only the commission messed up here too, Dusty?
Well, the commission messed up, and I'll tell you why the commission messed up. If you talk about Cotto or Shane Mosley,
mm-hmm.
Which one you talking about, Shane or Cotto?
No. I'm talking about Cotto. I mean,
yeah.
No.
Okay.
You're saying for that to have happened, the taping, the Margarito improprieties of his taping with the commission there, somebody, as we would say, dropped the ball. Because if you're my guy and you're not there, well, inadvertently, because Lady A from the commission, she's there. At least the proper thing is done. Right.
Okay.
Am I right, Dusty?
Absolutely right. The commission inspector, in fact, I'll segue into a situation, but let me just finish this and clarify
mm-hmm.
this once and for all. The commission inspector has to be there, one, out of courtesy or mandatory to ensure fairness, a party from the opposing part comes and watches the tapes,
mm-hmm.
okay? Now, the taping is now. If the now seem riches it, or maybe in the quarter situation, you have to ask yourself the $64,000 question. Where was the commission inspector? Now, let me give you a scenario with Margarito.
Mm.
Nassim Richardson, not the commission inspector, who should know better, picked this up.
Correct.
The squabble was with Capetillo and Nassim until the commission, I don't know where he woke up from his butterflies, walked in there and said, wait a minute, this doesn't look right. He confiscated the extra pads. There was a big rumble in that freaking dressing room, folks, until the inspector had to go to the deputy commissioner to go into the room and look at the questionable pads, and the commissioner said, oh, wait a minute, this doesn't look right. He confiscated them. That's how the whole scenario broke. Now, if this happened in the quarter situation, everybody fell asleep because it was a foregone conclusion and admission that nobody from the Cotto camp went to watch Margarito.
Nobody from the Margarito camp.
Yes, go ahead.
Could this been Cotto just out of Gepetto, respect for Margarito, figuring Margarito would do the right thing? Was this a situation you say, we're two Hispanic hermanos, he's going to do the right thing? Maybe?
Well, Doc, I'm going to answer you as a Puerto Rican. That
mm-hmm.
was mere blanket stupidity. You don't trust the Pope
but,
when he walks into if he says he's getting taken.
Also, if I could just interject and just piggyback on what Dusty's saying.
Yeah.
Additionally, let's not forget the fact that at that time there was still a squabble between Cotto and Evangelista. And, you know,
realize also that
because there was a feud between the trainer and the
uh-huh.
fighter, who
uh-huh.
knows what direction the mindset was. The mindset was at. So
God
I think that's another thing.
Are you insinuating? Are you trying to tell us that maybe there was little hanky panky going on here?
I think what I'm trying to insinuate is just plainly that I think that there were other issues that needed to be interjected into
such
the whole situation.
Come on,
that.
I'm a,
There were a lot of other things I think that needed to be interjected into that mix as well that maybe some other people did not consider. I mean, let's face it, who is Evangelista Costa really training now? Who is Evangelista really caught
little
training now? That,
guys, but, yeah,
right.
But
so we have to look at the fact, like, who knows what the mindset was at that time, and why this happened. And additionally, one more thing to add on to what Dusty's saying, because a lot of it, let's just add a little more clarity into this. The other thing I think we have to look at also is the fact that, hey, here we got Cotto ready to fight a major fight, okay? Like, everyone knows, hey, this was his first loss. This was his first loss. Okay, he was going into this fight with an O, okay?
Exactly.
So this was his first loss. So now, additionally, let's look at other things. Let's look at marketing, okay?
Yep.
Let's look at what this – hey, are we looking at – oh, you know, everybody always looks at twos, so who knows how that played a factor. And then let's look at the fact that Margarito – now, how many times has he done this before, and, you know, how could this happen? Well, let's look at the job – let's look at the job of the commission. How many times had this gone on before? So now you create another impropriety on the part of the commission itself.
Absolutely.
So there were a lot of things, I think, that surrounded this whole thing. And we're looking at the controversy now 3 or 4 years later. But at the time, you know, if we look at it from that perspective also, hey, was the commission even doing its job the other times this guy was fighting?
Exactly.
Well,
Melko Cell,
I need you to come in here.
Hey, Doc, by the way, before you ask that question, please don't forget to give us a update in regard to the Hall of Fame for this tremendous show and for, you know, our listeners nationwide and, you know, worldwide for the Sports In Depth audience. I'm sure they want to know what's going on with that. And then feel free to shoot that question, because I have something to say about that.
One of the things that we forgot is
hold tight.
All right, go ahead.
I'm glad you brought that up. I was at our session all day today with the Sports In Depth Hall of Fame. As you know, DocStanleySports.com is the site, and going through some boxing stuff, you know, we went through some very interesting boxing stuff. Besides the autographed Duran gloves and the autographed Ali gloves, what I had was a ticket from the second Ali Frazier fight that I have, autographed by both Joe and Ali. And then what I found was, as you remember, as Dusty was, he probably was selling peanuts at the particular fight, but the last outdoor fight.
I was a water boy.
They said that was strong water. The last outdoor fight in the history of the 20th century was held at Yankee Stadium, Ali Norton 3, which Ali won that fight, and also have a autograph ticket from Ali from that fight and from Norton. Nirooni, you know, give me another 15 minutes. We'll come back with that segment, and we'll bring that back up again. Thanks for asking. Doc Stanley, Sports Network, on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports Network, the show. A little intro into our Sports Network Hall of Fame. We'll get back to that in the 15, 20 minutes. But right now, we'll be in depth.
Let me just quickly regard that fight.
Hold on. Rooney, hold on. Dusty, let Rooney come in. Go ahead, Rooney.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
I'll try to make it brief. My opinion, the bottom line is this, okay? The fight is here now. Whatever happened 3 or 4 years ago happened then. The rumble is here now, and it's about to take place. You're going to have a sold-out garden. I don't know what the pay-per-view buys are. The garden's already sold out. You're going to have 17,000 screaming, howling fans who will be on their feet from the time they're introduced to the time they walk through the ropes, okay? This is going to be, first of all, this fight is absolutely, positively personal now, okay? It's not just a sporting event. It's not just, you know, I want to win, that's my job. This is a bona fide, a personal war. And the reason that you kind of had an obtuse, a koto is, quite frankly, and I told you this, Doc, from the jump, he's walking around with a major chip on his shoulder. He has an attitude. He feels that he was jobbed. He feels that he was robbed. As the great Lady A said, because of the robbing that he feels that he got, that zero was turned into a one, which is always a big thing for a fighter to have that undefeated record thing going. That was a race he clipped. He feels he was jobbed. He feels he was robbed. He wants the whole world to know it. He has a point to prove. And quite frankly, he has an attitude about the whole damn thing.
You know, that's amazing.
Beat,
That's
true.
Amazing it's, that he has this attitude now, because I remember, and Lady A was standing behind me, and Dusty was either eating a sandwich. No, Dusty wasn't there at the particular time. But Lady A was there, and when he signed to fight Boriega, and I asked him, in view of what happened, the allegations, because I think at the time the only allegations he had been suspended or met event, in view of what has happened and with the Margarito situation, do you feel that you're still undefeated? And he was very classy. He says, no, you know, I lost that fight. That's something that happened. You know, that was a loss, and I'm moving on. I felt, and we got 90 minutes, gang, so everybody hold up. We're going to roll. I felt to a certain degree, but you said it, Dusty. Harold Weston said it. Everybody's kind of concluded the same thing. I thought with the absence of Emmanuel Stewart in this corner, that could prove maybe minutely advantageous to Margarito. But in talking to George Willis, and we're going to go to George on tape now, and he's going to talk about that, and then we're going to move into Bob Bram. So, gang, hold tight. George Willis, one of only 22 African-American columnists in the business today, up from 11, and the number one columnist African-American-wise, period-wise, for New York Post. George Willis just speaks on how important the absence of Emmanuel Stewart is, or is it important at all?
Takoto?
Well, I don't think it'll be that much of a factor, because Manny was only with him for, what, one fight?
Yeah.
At the most. So it's not like they've had this bond together that Cotto's going to miss him. You know, Cotto's had a couple of three different trainers since the parting with his uncle. So he's sort of used to a change of seconds in his corner. So I don't really think that'll be a big factor. More of a factor of what has this guy, Pedro Diaz, brought to his skills that he'll be able to implement against Margarito. And we'll just have to wait and see.
George, the recent passing of the great Joe Frazier, thoughts and reflections on a great champion and human being?
Well, I got to, you know, visit with Joe several times over the last couple of years at different events. And, you know, just a great guy. You know, I grew up a big Ali fan. When they had Ali Frazier won, I was rooting for Ali like crazy. But, you know, if I had to pick a second favorite fighter, it probably would be Joe Frazier, because he had just embodied everything you admire in a fighter. You had great courage, great determination, great respect for the game, great respect for his competitors. And even after he retired and in later years, he always treated people very nicely and just was a great man.
You know what? You know, when George said that yesterday, that, you know, after Ali, 1-1A was Joe Frazier, and I said, hey, you know what? That's right. George Willis talking to us and speaking on the possible importance of the absence of Emmanuel Stewart. Harold Weston is back with us. And, Harold, you had alluded to that.
You had alluded
to the same fact, Harold, that that you didn't see the absence of Emmanuel Stewart as being a factor, because you said they had no relationship. Harold?
Yeah.
Like I said, we're getting back to you again. You feel that Emmanuel Stewart not being there tomorrow is not going to make one bit of difference, and you alluded to the fact that that's due to the fact that him and Cotto really never had any relationship, and he wasn't there in the beginning.
No, they didn't. I mean, what relationship they had? I mean, the bottom line is that Cotto and Emmanuel Stewart was very limited, because it's just a short type of relationship they had. And with them having that, you know, you don't communicate with an athlete on a, let's say, a one-year relationship or even a two-year relationship. I mean, it takes a while to try to build that relationship with a relationship that's going to make you both understand that y'all can enjoy each other. You know what I'm saying? Because, like I said to y'all earlier in the week, you have to hear that man's words. And when you hear it, you're going to react automatically because that is like your father who's close to you and you love and you care for. But Emmanuel Stewart was only there for two fights. And that's what it's all about with Cotto and Emmanuel Stewart, I'm saying.
Mm.
Doc, can I ask Harold a question?
I remember.
Yeah. Doc, can I ask Harold a question?
Go ahead, lady. I go after you. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Hey, Harold, can I ask you a question? I don't know.
Yes.
Did you see the pictures of Margarito's wraps after the fight and how they were ripped? Has that ever happened at all, ever?
I'm going to say it right off the bat. Margarito's hand wrap was mother. I'm going to say that Margarito and him and his trainer, his bullshit trainer, can say that their hand wrap was fully, was loaded.
Okay, all right.
Okay, that's all it was.
Okay, because I've never seen, I asked Dusty, and I've never seen anything like that.
No.
I've never seen anything ripped like that.
I mean, I can give you some, I can let you pad any glove in the world. I mean, hand wrap, okay? We can sit there and let him come to me and let him wrap 20 hand wraps on his hand and come with a gray hand wrap later. It doesn't work like that.
Exactly.
And his trainer, who has been suspended for life, it should be suspended. He should not even be in a boxing gym or any gym in the world. And that's how I feel about it, because, you know, he's incompetent as a trainer.
Don't make me office. I can't back up over here, Harold.
You're telling me that you're gonna let me
go wrap your hands. Come on, Harold, be honest now. Stop playing games.
I'm gonna tell him to go wrap his hands, his fighter's hands again with the wraps that we do with and then tell me after we finish wrapping it, do all the gloves and everything, and then come back and it looks like it's great after. I'm just looking for an excuse
to wrap Harold's hands.
Yeah.
That's all.
Okay. But getting back to the trainer situation, Dusty, as a fighter, and you as a Latin fighter,
were you embarrassed and hurt by the fact that Margarito had cheated? I mean, a Hispanic fighter, a guy that's sort of in the society of the sweet. Were you embarrassed that this was a Hispanic guy that did this, Dusty?
Well, look, you know, it's not so much embarrassed because you broad brush that inequity on all racial lines. You know, I just hated a cheater, like Harold Weston says. It could have been me who have taken that beat. It could have been Shea Mosley.
That's correct.
It could have been anybody. It could have been Harold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a cheater is a cheater. You know, people will not agree with me, but the most dangerous sport is boxing. I don't care what they tell me about any other, with all the respect to the others. Because the agenda is to beat your opponent unconscious, man. And then I turn around and I get Plaster of Paris, or maybe I'll sneak in some brass knuckles in my 8 ounces, you know, to beat the crap out of the dude. Oh, man, what a brave dude. But I'm really nothing but a punk and a coward, man.
There you go,
and
man.
And then you have to grandfather what Margarito may have done to Golden Johnson. One of the guys on the card tomorrow, Lujan, is the guy that Margarito cut his ear.
That's right.
Right, and you got to go back to twice Kermit Throne, you know.
Yep.
And all these guys that he, and even going back to 147 pounds when he knocked out Sergio Martinez.
So Dusty, I mean, in a way, Dusty, you're bringing up a great point, because my thing is, you know, at you saying that, then are all these people entitled to rematches as well, if that's the case?
Well, okay, here's the bottom line. Belko Self, if he wins tomorrow, let's say he knocks out Cotto in the third or fourth round, does that take all the suspicion away, Rooney? Do we say,
no.
Hey,
no.
Huh?
No, absolutely not, Doc. It doesn't. He's going to say that he's going to claim redemption, of course. Because the first thing that he's going to say is, well, you know, I told you I didn't need any did anything to knock this guy out. That everybody always knew that I hit hard, that I was a knockout puncher, blah, 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 blah. So he's automatically going to say, redemption, I've been, you know, redeemed. This shows that I didn't need me yet, that, you know, I'm great, I don't need any help, blah, blah, blah. On the other hand, as Howard Weston said earlier, and the crew, Koto, man, is fighting on big-time emotion. You'll have to have champions like Howard and Dusty boxing-wise, and if that's going to be a good thing, that he's going to be emotional when he comes into that Rumble, or if it's going to work against him. I think it's going to spur him on myself.
Okay,
I think
it's
going to work against him.
Dusty, telling me, what everybody is telling me here right now, if Margot Rito wins that fight tomorrow, decision, knockout, he is, and I just need a yes or no. Lady A, he's still guilty?
Possibly.
Okay. Mel Cosell, he's still guilty?
I think he was. Yeah, I do.
Harold, he's still guilty?
Yeah, he's still guilty. I mean, how can you not be guilty in Shane Mosley's found the damn hand wrap being,
exactly,
being loaded?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't be a fool to a situation. Please.
So Dusty, the bottom line is, there's nothing he can do to erase what he already did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's nothing. No, he committed a crime.
Mm-hmm.
And once you committed a crime, you can say I'm on parole and I rehabbed and all that, but you still got
to
go back.
Dusty, stop. So Dusty,
we stop.
He committed the crime. He did the year suspension. Are you satisfied with that, Dusty?
No, he should have been out. Louis Wrestle right now put in for his boxing license, and they're still pending and determining whether he gets it or not, Louis Wrestle. Now, there's a chance he may not get it. And to me, Louis Wrestle was the innocent party. And then he says, well, I don't really want to fight anymore. I'm too old. I want to be able to train kids. And it's still pending. He put in for it two or three months ago. So you mean to tell me that this cheater is allowed, in fact, let's talk money. He made $6 million with Pacquiao. I found out he's making $2.5 million with Cotto, and you know, and Cotto's getting 5 plus percentage of the pay per view. So you know, Cotto's gonna walk off with about maybe $10 million. I mean, come on, he's making big bucks. In my column, Doc, and I told you I wrote my column. When I wrote it, says if he's brought back after he appeals, let me finish. After he appeals and the commission says yes, well then he should be fighting preliminaries, 4 rounders, 6 rounders, get chump change, and the dude walks into a $6 million pot in Texas Stadium. You think that's fair? He's a criminal. If he beats Cotto, it's because Cotto beat himself. He's going there with Puerto Rican anger. He's going out there with revenge factor. He may get stupid. Now, let me give you another insight.
Hold up, Dusty. Is this thing as Puerto Rican anger?
Yeah, Puerto Rican anger. What Emmanuel Stewart brought to the table in those 8 weeks to train Cotto, and a lot of naysayers and doubting Tabata says he can't do anything for Cotto. He reborn Cotto. He gave Cotto a new way of fighting, or brought back the old good Cotto. And he proved it, not with you reforming, he proved it with Mayorga. If you saw Mayorga, he fought. Now, with this new guy is making his pro debut as a trainer.
Hmm.
And
but hold up, Dusty, he's not a pushover either. See, that guy's not a pushover. Diaz is a good trainer.
He's not a Emmanuel Stewart either, though.
Well, he's not a pushover in the amateurs, but he's a newbie. He's a freshman in the pros.
Mm-hmm.
And I just hope that what Emmanuel Stewart brought to the table and what he brings to the table can be integrated so that Cotto can be more than ready for tomorrow's fight. Tomorrow's fight is a crossroads for Cotto, not so much Margarito. Margarito couldn't care less. He has nothing to gain, nothing to lose. He don't care. He's making $2.5 million. And he's lucky. In those two fights, he's made $8.5 million that he should be making 10 cents.
Now, Dusty has said something, and you said that, you know, Emmanuel not being there tomorrow is not going to make a difference, but the little bit that Emmanuel did instill, was there something that he did do and Cotto will maybe use Harold?
No, Cotto's going to use whatever training he has that's working with him. Mm-hmm. Has nothing to do with Emmanuel Stewart.
Okay.
All the goals are going to do is try to win and avenge what this man has done to him in that first loss. Cotto wants to just humiliate this man. If he can kill this man, he will be happy. But, you know, in the ring, you know, we're trying to just embarrass another man and say, I have superior knowledge and better, you know, ability than you do. And that's all it's about. But Cotto just wants to be victorious at the end of this fight that he's going to have
right.
with Margarito. That's all it's all
and
about.
And outside of the hand-wrap situation, Doc, outside of the hand-wrap situation is the way that I'm viewing this fight is, outside of the hand-wrapping situation, for Cotto to win this fight, he has to keep this fight in the middle of the ring, not fight this rumble with his back to the ropes and fighting off the ropes and continually backing up like he did in the last fight.
The first
he had
fight.
Because I think that overall he's a better boxer and technician than Margarito is.
Mm.
So I think it would be
to
his advantage to keep this fight in the middle of the ring.
Well, to piggyback on Cotto, Lumel, remember that Miguel Cotto was beating Margarito, counterpunching. I mean, I gave him the first six rounds. And that's how...
He won the first half of the fight, that's no question about it in my mind.
But the bottom line that after the cement gelled, I guess, I mean, you know, is when Cotto started to come down. But I think,
you know what, Dusty, let's not forget a couple of things. I mean, when we
right.
break down the fighters and we look at them, let's look
right.
at them side by side. Okay,
exactly.
Cotto has an excellent left hook. He's an excellent
yeah.
body puncher, and he has a lot of good movement around the ring. And then when you look
yeah.
at Margarito has a good chin. Cotto's
exactly.
a little questionable sometimes with his
right.
chin, okay?
Yeah,
Margarito has a decent right cross. Let's not forget about that decent right cross
oh,
he has.
No, no.
He's a great body puncher,
yeah.
and he's good at cutting off the ring. So those
right.
are all things that when you factor those things in, it's not like, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, you know, but I'm going to tell you one thing I'm going to look forward to in this fight, guys. You know what that is? That bell at the end of every round. Because I think they're going to have to pull this guy off of Margarito, honestly.
Probably.
Okay. We got to pull away. Everybody hold tight. We got to pull away for a commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to go back to the fight for some interviews. So everybody pull yourself away. Pull yourself together. We'll be back momentarily. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports in Depth of the show. It is a fight final here for the big one tomorrow. Miguel Cotto against Antonio Margarito and a hell of an undercard. Don't nobody move. Don't say a word.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Check out Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best. Featuring entertainment, sports, nutrition, Africana studies, holistic healing, and celebrities. Listen to Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best. Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com. Talk radio for your mind, body, and soul.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports in Depth of the show, the clue, they're all here. Say what you may, and they've got a lot to say tomorrow. Big one, Madison Square Garden. the new garden, so to speak, with the renovations. Got a chance to talk to the promoter, the man who put this card together, who turns 80 next week. It's amazing, you know, him and Don King kind of came into the game together, and Don hit 80 in August. Bob Arum, the man who's put probably one of the best fight cards he's ever put together, tomorrow, took a little time out to talk to us at the final press conference yesterday, where he got a chance to talk about some things.
Bob, first of all, birthday greetings to you. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Bob, thanks very much.
It all started for you, Muhammad Ali.
Right. Yeah, Muhammad Ali. The first fight I did was Ali and Shivalo in Toronto, and Ali was the one that brought me into the business.
And you were a lawyer, right? Harvard Law Firm?
Right. Correct.
And where did you present from, Bob?
Brooklyn.
Where in Brooklyn?
Crown Heights section of Brooklyn. I lived a mile from Ebbets Field, the old Ebbets Field.
Wow. So what high school did you go to?
Erasmus Hall.
Whoa, you and Billy Cunningham. Is Ali the greatest fighter that you think of all time?
Of course. The greatest personality, the greatest fighter. Ali brought a magic to boxing that is extremely rare because he became such a worldwide figure, not only because of his boxing ability, but because of the political stance that he took.
Last question. Reflection of thoughts on Joe Frazier.
Joe Frazier, I always admired. He was such a workmanlike guy. There was no nonsense about Frazier. And when he came in the ring, I mean, he was terrifying because he'd keep coming forward and coming forward and look to take his opponent out with that devastating left hook. And out of the ring, he was a really good guy, and you could rely on anything that Joe told you.
Your original name and company wasn't Top Rank, was it?
No, Main Bout.
Bob, God bless you. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you, man. Doc Stanley, Sports and F on the Blake Network, Red Emerald Soul Sports and F Show. One of the great champions out there today, Brandon Rivers. Pleasure to meet you. And right in the Madison Square Garden is kind of special to you.
Well, you know, it's nice. You know, I've never been out here this way before, New York. But, you know, I'm a fighter. I'm a warrior. I don't really care where I fight, as long as I fight and have an opponent. But fighting at the Madison Square Garden is great because they have the histories behind it. And I get to fight one of the historic buildings. So I'm pleasure and I'm honored.
Make no mistake about it, after Saturday night, you will be the champion out there with your belt.
Saturday night, I'm going to take my belt home with me. I'm going to go back to my house and be right there where it's supposed to belong. And it's not leaving my house, and I'm going to still be the lightweight champion of the world still.
Yeah, lightweight champion, Durant had that title. We had some other great Latin champions. It's a special heritage, though. Lightweight champion Durant was there. You also had Shane Mosley, who was a great champion. And then mention you in the same breath. You got to feel good about that.
I feel great because I'm ready. I'm 100% ready and ready for this fight. My preparation has been great. There's nothing else I can handle. You know, I'm just ready.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. Knockout?
You know what? I wasn't looking for a knockout, but you know what? I think there's a possibility it's going to be a knockout.
You sound like you're a little agitated here. Did he piss you off or something?
No, it's not pissing me off, but you know, I'm just ready because I got that fire in me already. Once I see my opponent and see where they react and their reaction, I get my fire up. He was showing me no balls, no heart. I really knew. I was like, man, this motherfucker is going to get his ass dealt to him.
How'd you get started in the boxing? What got you in the boxing?
I got started boxing when I was 8 years old in Kansas. My older brother was doing it, and I wanted to be like him, so I started boxing.
Well, you've done well. Did your brother continue fighting?
No, actually, my brother is not doing it no more. He's actually locked up right now.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so, you know, he took a different path. Mm-hmm. I was there one time. You know, I was getting in trouble a lot back home. I changed my life around, and I wanted to be a fighter.
And you became a world champion.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Can you put autographs on my back?
Yeah.
What makes you so cocky, so aggressive, you know, like,
Sports and F on the Blink Network, Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports and F Show. The great, the legend, Aaron Barkley, only man to beat Tom Harris. But Blake, you know, there's a couple issues here. You know, this is a fight, but there's a lot of feeling that what Margarito did, he shouldn't have gotten a license. He shouldn't still be in boxing.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, it was bad what he did, and it kind of, like, tarnished it a little, but it's not that he shouldn't get a license. license. I mean, if they did, they should have not gave him a license, because the simple fact, when that happened when 20 years ago, when I think about Louis Rusko, you know, Panama Lewis, they took the license away from him and kicked him out of boxing. You know what I'm saying? So he should have been punished like that too. You know what I'm saying? I mean, but I guess past clouds to see that powers to be had him do what he had to do, and Margarito needed, you know, I mean, Margarito needed to get back into this, and my man needed to get that win, that Cotto needed to get to punish him, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it was a good thing, because I got nothing but respect for Cotto, and if this is the way that he got it to do to punish him and finish him this way, so be it, you know what I'm saying? But, I mean, I've seen the strangest things in this game, and the more that I've been back through the years, when I came back to look and see that the days that me and Davey Moore and, you know, Wilfred Benitez and everybody and Duran and Harold Weston and Ali Frazier, all these guys that built the sport and made it good and clean and did it on their good names and everything, to see this kind of stuff happen, I feel that, you know, Cotto deserved to get a rematch back for this, for what unfortunately happened. But, I mean, this is a new time and era. You know what I'm saying? So, who's to say what boxing is going to say about that? You know what I'm saying? Cotto will get his win. He'll be redeemed and move on with life. He'll be revenged after that and move on with life.
So, Blade, in this fight, there's no question you're picking Cotto to win.
Oh, Cotto's definitely going to win. You know, definitely. No question about it. You know, I got highly respect for Miguel Cotto. You know, he deserved to get this redone again. And
the right way.
I wish I could have got mine redone when I fought James Toney.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not James Toney, I'm sorry. When I fought Nigel Benn.
Oh, Nigel. Oh,
and
wow.
I had that,
second,
you know,
Nigel,
right, you know. And now that Nigel went on to be a preacher and everything, I know God turned him another way, so.
We let him go.
I let him go. I forgive him on that, you know what I'm saying?
Amen.
But I forgive him on that, you know, because he's one of God's repertoires now, so he's being used in a good way.
Blake, you, from an era, you were one of the great champions era, and we lost a great champion in Joe Frazier. Your thoughts, your reflections on Smokey Joe Frazier?
Wow. You know, I went out to the funeral with Joe, nephew, and me and him hooked up, and we went out with a friend of ours, drove us out, Matt Farrego, drove us out there and everything, and I mean, that boxing lost a big man, you know, a giant in the game, and Joe was a great inspiration, you know, to me, and you know, I mean, other and it's hard to like think of him gone, because I know that when I go on tour or something to do a tour, I'm always there to see Joe, and Joe is always there to see me and greet me and everything. But I know in spirit that Joe Frazier and my man also that passed away, Heavy D, God bless them. You know what I'm saying? They gonna be standing tall for this game, man. And I think all the stuff and all the, if it had not been for Joe and Muhammad Ali, boxing, it probably wouldn't be no boxing, man. Because these two men, after, you know, big giants like, you know, Isaac Charles and
Joe Louis
and Joe Louis
Marciano
and Archie Moore, Ray Morrison, I mean Ray Robinson,
right, yeah.
They set the stone for it, you know. Like I always said, you know, Jack Johnson paved the way for, you know, Joe Louis and them. Joe Louis and Joe Frazier and Ali and them paved the way for us younger guys. I paved the way for the guys like Floyd Mayweather and Oscar De La Hoya and Pacquiao and them,
Ron Hopkins.
And Ron Hopkins and these guys, you know. But I just want to see the sport
of our fighters just come together and help one another. You know, because so much of us been taken out of this stuff, you know, by promoters and certain people. So, you know, gotta come another
way. Do the fighters today show the respect and the knowledge of what you guys have done before them, you and Harold and Benitez and the Ram? Are they aware of that, the way you were about Ali, the way you were about Ray Robinson? I mean, are today's fighters know the history and know the sacrifices that you guys before them made for them?
There's only one fighter that I could truly say that honors and respects that era like that is Floyd Mayweather. When this man comes, I don't care where I be or where I am, Floyd Mayweather gives the homage to certain fighters that paved the way, like for him and others. You know what I'm saying? I don't care where I am. If I walk in the room and Floyd Mayweather have a press conference, he'll stop the press conference and say, "I want you to know, there go Iran Barkley, this great champion right here, you know, that did this." Floyd got a lot of class, and I like that because he reminds me of me. You know what I'm saying? I mean, guys like, you know, Hopkins and Oscar De La Hoya, I mean, I respect them because they fighters, but they don't pay homage to the fighters that paved the way for them this way. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know, you know, it's crazy, but when I see things, I'm trying to just get myself right. I'm right, I'm looking good. I'm trying to get to a point where I can get, you know, but it may not happen, it will happen, you know, only God knows, you know what I'm saying? But Bernard Hopkins, maybe we can make an exciting thing in boxing and do something, you know what I'm saying?
Play that question, are we going to see a Pacquiao Mayweather fight, and who would you pick in that fight? It seems like the fight's not going to come up.
Well, you know, if I had to pick anyone, I'm with Floyd all the way. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Floyd.
Does it seem to you though that in a lot of ways that Aram doesn't want to make this fight? Pacquiao's his cash cow, and he's kind of keeping him away from Mayweather.
Yeah, I think it's all up to. I mean, I got thrown to the wolves, and I had to go in the lions then. Why not Pacquiao go in that damn lion's den? You know what I'm saying? And defend what he got to defend. You know what I'm saying? And now it's time to do that. If he said that Mayweather, you know, Mayweather is the best fighter pound for pound, he's willing to do it now. Before it was like, hey, Mayweather's playing games. Pacquiao say he ain't waiting around. Pacquiao, you got the time, call it out, make the fight, let's do it. You know, they do it and get it on. I mean, Mayweather already said, yo, let's do it. You know, I mean, that's the last biggest thing in boxing. If you look at it, you know, those are the only two guys that could revive this game again. You know what I'm saying?
Bring the excitement back.
Bring the excitement back. Besides myself. You know what I'm saying?
Besides the blade.
You know what I'm saying? If the blade had that opportunity to do what he got to do, man. You know what I'm saying? Because, see, just like Ali said, he's shock and amaze you. You know what I'm saying? I'm a shock and amaze you. You know what I'm saying?
Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports Network the show. And we got an in-depth interview with none other than the Blade, Iron Barkley, and
Doc.
Doc. Yeah, lady.
All I got to say from that interview is wow.
Yeah, good interview.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm sorry. All I got to say out of that interview is wow. When you asked that question, he responded to the fact that the only one that pays homage, that not even Oscar De La Hoya and Bernard Hopkins pay homage?
Yeah.
I got to say, wow. That goes back to what Harold Weston said all the time.
There's two things you have to understand here. You have to understand who the interviewer was. You know what I mean? Gang, real quickly, Doc Danny Wars up with the Blake Network, Babel Souls. And in the background, some Brazilian music, and I'm using this segue, as you know, I'm going to eventually relocate to Brazil, and part of that transition is my display and telling the pavilion for the Sports Net Hall of Fame. Lady A, you know, you got a chance to see some of the Sports Net Hall of Fame. Give us your thoughts.
I went to the Doc Stanley Museum. I call it the Doc Stanley Museum. And I told Doc that I couldn't believe some of the things he had in the museum. I call it Doc Stanley Museum. You guys call it the Hall of Fame. But I'm still in shock, Doc, because I still can't believe you got the Roy Jones hand wraps.
There was so much he used in the gym, right?
the
Camacho shorts.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that that I'm all honor and praise to God first and foremost, and one of the things that I'm really proud of is that you know, the stuff I have is besides the authenticity of it. It's the fact that, you know, I was given this, you know, by the gentleman himself. You know, there's nothing here that, I mean, I have a friend, Susan Mendoza. She says, you know, Doc, and I hope Big C will join us. Big C was by here today, and we did a very in-depth, some photos and I was like, wow. I mean, you know, I forgot I had that. Wow. And I think about, you know, I talk about the first piece of memorabilia that I ever had, and Big C should be calling us soon. He'll join us. And it was, well, the first Leroy Neiman I ever got. I was going through a Playboy magazine, and I saw this reprint for Ali Frazier 1. And I said to myself, I said, wow. I said, this is nice. I said, no. And I took it out the book. I said, you know what? I'm going to have this guy autograph this. And I mean, in no way, shape, or form that I know Leroy Neiman outside of the Playboy and ever think that we've become close friends. And that piece of memorabilia is one of the, I think, the most treasured. And probably the most precious that is autographed by Ali, Joe Frazier, Arthur McCanthy, and also the matchmaker, the legendary Teddy Brenner, and also the head PR man, John Francis Xavier Condon. And you know, it's the stories that I remember. I have three Barry Bonds bats, and I remember Barry had cracked the bat, and he left it behind the batting cage, and his dad was still alive then, Bobby. And I went to Bobby, and I said, Bobby, could I have that bat that Barry cracked? He said, you know, you'd have to ask Barry. And I went over to Barry, and I asked Barry, I said, Barry, can I have that bat you cracked? And Barry Bonds just walked away from the batting cage, grabbed the bat, walked over, and handed it to me, as if, like, this is what I'm supposed to do. You know, he's told me that I have more stuff for him than his family has. And no, and it's a lot of that is because of the friendship that me and Barry forged. I remember when I went work with Don King to do some security with Tony Tucker, and I was down in Arizona, and Dusty Baker was just a coach then, and I walked into this club, and I heard his voice because I'm looking over. I said, "Hey man, what are you doing here? Come on over here." It was Barry Lamar Bonds, and he came over and he hugged me, and the first thing he said to me, he said, "Hey man, come on, I want you to meet my sister." You know, I saw a book one time, cover, and it had on the cover, it had Satchel Paige, it had Joe Louis, and Jesse Owens. And by the
way,
wow,
you want to talk
about
greats, Doc? That's all greats right there.
Yeah, I've met all of them. I remember Ali, and you talk about how great Ali is. Big C, did you join us?
C Wings checking in.
All right, okay. And you talk about how great Ali is. I remember the first time I got a picture autographed from Ali. Ali was at a fight at the Garden. And Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake made another Rainbow Soldier channel, Sports Network the show. We got about another good 17, 18 minutes. We're talking about, as Lady A said, Doc Stanley's Hall of Fame, or I call it the Sports in Depth Hall of Fame. And I remember Ali was there. Tommy Campbell said, the champ is here. And I mean, Ali wasn't the champ then. I said, the champ. I know who he meant. And I had a picture. I was supposed to. I said, "Champ, would you autograph this picture for me?" I said, "In the middle of a fight." And then after that, autographed and I gave him an interview. The thing about Ali, the great line that Michael Katz said, Ali treated the guy from the high school newspaper with the same reverence and respect he treated the guy from New York Times. And if you were African American, Ali always looked out for him and his Latin brothers. And I remember he won the first ever Potemkin Award. And I had some Ali autographs here. They took a picture of me and Ali in the back page of Daily News before his second fight with Joe. So I had about 7 or 8 pieces of stuff. And there was a break, and I went up to Ali and I said, Champ, will you sign a couple of things for me? He said, yeah, sure. And he signed it. And he did about 4 things, and I started to take the rest of the stuff and put it in the bag. And he said to me, hey, what you doing? I said, Champ, you can't sign all that stuff. He said, man, give me everything. And I've said this, you know, if Muhammad Ali has time for autographs, has time for photos, has time for interviews, then everybody else that lives or has lived, because Muhammad Ali's number one with every barrel shooting for a distance. I'm talking about Michael Jordan. Yeah, I'm talking about Willie Mays. Not so much Jim Brown, but everybody else is shooting for a distant second place. And if Ali can do it, everybody else can do it. We'll talk some more about the Hall of Fame. Sometimes I'm a little bit full of myself. I'm looking at an autograph, Leroy Neiman reprint of Casey Stengel. I've got a section here dedicated to Dave Winfield, which has his game-use spikes, game-use batting gloves, a hat, and his bat. Winfield, one of the few men to reach 3,000 bases. You have 4 guys in history of baseball, over 500 home runs, 500 doubles, 3,000 bases. I happen to have 2 bats in the Hall of Fame of 2 of those guys. They're all minorities, and the only switch hitter to ever do it, Eddie Murray, I have, and the only Hispanic to ever do it, Rafael Palmeiro. But it's time to get back to the show. Thanks so much, for listening, Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Miller Network. Rainbow Soul is the channel, Sports Network the show. Sports Network Hall of Fame. And DocStanleySports.com. You go on there. I want to thank Vic C, who came in today and just took a whole horde of pictures. Happy birthday, Rooney. Your birthday's coming up. We won't be on, but
well,
you and Larry
you,
Bird.
Happy birthday,
Larry
Rooney.
Bird. Yeah, Rooney's birthday.
Thank you,
birthday.
Thank you.
Both of them gentle. They're both Pearl Harbor babies. And Larry Bird.
Yes, getting loud here tonight. Yes, the
Saturdays
are out, Doctor.
Yeah, my son Jeff. C-Wings is coming. We got a good 50 minutes. So we're going to talk football. C-Wings, we got a special Sports and Death Day Sunday.
Doc. Can I just interject 2 seconds?
Hold on, Dusty. Back up. Sunday, we're having a special Sports and Death. We're going to give you a early Sports and Death as we come live. From Washington, the Jets against the Washington Redskins. Sea Wings will be doing that game. And then we'll come back late that night, hoping that Dusty sleep. We'll be going to air, but he'll probably be awake. And so we're going to give you a early afternoon Sports and Depth, and then come back that night and give you fight action and the rest of the football scores that quickly. So Sports and Depth will be early and late. We'll give you an hour before and an hour later. So we're looking to come on about 1:30 on Sunday, and then we'll come back again about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. So Sports in Depth, daytime and nighttime this Sunday on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports in Depth for the show. And real quick, go ahead, Dusty, because we got
to
bring up.
Okay, I apologize to the panel for not saying this. Perhaps it would have taken a different direction. Miguel Cotto's mother took over the management ship of the whole thing.
How long has that been, Dusty?
Since she became a widow. And since
really?
The father died. And the fact of the matter is that she told me at the Trinity Gym, and I didn't really hit it too much attention. I think I was paying attention to my sore leg. But it was reinforced this morning where she herself had declared that she was against Cotto fighting Margarito.
Really?
The first time?
Yep. It says, in fact, I'll read it to you right now. It says, I'm going to translate it. This came out, it reminded me this morning from El Vocero. He says, if I had anything to say about it, there will be no revenge fight. I didn't want my son fighting Margarito again. And I said, holy crap, I forgot to tell the panel this.
But why is that, Dusty, in your opinion?
Because of the fact that of the beating that he took, because of the wear and tear, and there was no reason for him to have to go through this whole scenario of maybe getting beat by my Margarito again. And a mother's instinct, right? And I'm saying, oh, my Lord. But the fact of the matter is, it's here. He says, it's here. I got to go along with what's happening. I have trust in my son, and I'm confident that he will come through and win.
So you're telling me that as his manager, she has said no.
Well, not so much as manager. She's taking over what the father was doing, the reins. She's a spokesperson, the whole thing.
Okay. But you know, the bottom line too is whatever you say, she's always going to be his mother. Fox Stanley,
yeah.
Sports Up on the Blake, yeah. Network, Rainbow Soul, the channel, Sports and Devil, the show, the man up in yeah. control, Big C, has joined us. See?
Hey, Big C, what's
yes.
going on?
Yes.
See?
I'm sorry,
we want to okay, we got a good Tim. See, Big C, we've been talking about the Sports and Devil Hall of Fame, and some thoughts and reflections on you were here all day. Doing a tremendous job, and just give us some insight.
No, thank you. Well, no, I was honored to be allowed into the archives, into the vault, and it's a museum. It's a literal museum.
Ah, sounds familiar.
You said that before, right?
Yep.
It's he's got everything: tennis, track, boxing, of course, you know, baseball, football, basketball, hockey. You just. And each one has its own unique story, you know, and things that you don't find. You just the referees and the two fighters, maybe the promoters and the guy in the front row. You know, it's just everything's just thrown in onto one poster, one boxing glove, one basketball. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Thank you, Big C. And it's amazing the job you came. You got up here early, and I just wanted. Well, first of all praise God. Thank God for painting. And I, you know, my panel here, I love you all with the exception of Dusty, who I like very much. Hey, Wing, come
I'm
on in here.
Ransack your museum. How about that?
Yeah,
Jack,
hey,
I just want
to
say one thing, Jack. No, I'm sorry. I didn't want to cut C-Wings off. But real quick, I just wanted to say my thoughts and prayers to go to the Sosa family that almost
mm-hmm.
lost their son, Pedro Luis,
yeah.
From the Bronx Golden Gloves champion.
Mm-hmm.
He was critically injured in a vehicle accident off the Cross Bronx, and you know,
yeah.
his sister died. She left behind a son.
Yeah.
You know, he was scheduled to sign with Oscar De La Hoya the following day.
Golden
Boy.
So you know, just for the holidays, I'd like to say, you know, my condolences to the family, and you know. He is recouping. He came out of the coma, and he's recovering now. But but I just wanted to say, you know, for the holidays, you know, my condolences to the family and all my prayers, you know, for the holidays.
Well, why don't we just take a quick minute here, gang?
Absolutely.
And
hey,
just
Doc,
do a
just quickly
quick
before you get to see, I have to say this just very quickly. You know what you were saying earlier about what Doc was saying about Coco's mom. Not wanting him to have this fight because of the hellacious beating that he took previously. You know, that scenario actually played itself out. I remember Doc and I was at the Garden watching Lennox Lewis fight basically what actually might have been his greatest performance overall Ray Mercer
mm-hmm.
while we were at ringside when Lewis's mom turned to us somewhere around the 7th, 8th round with tears streaming down her cheeks. And then she said, do you think he's ahead? Tears streaming down her cheeks. So mothers feel that way about their sons. There's no question about that.
It's a mother's love. And a guy that we love so much and has been a blessing to us. And real quickly, panel, let's just take a quick 60-second break. Close our eyes, nod our heads. Dear Lord, Lady A has presented this situation to us. We ask you to reach out and touch his family. Help them in their times of trials and tribulation. And touch all the loved ones of these here in the panel and those across the world. And we know that earth has no sorrow, heaven can't heal. And we leave it in your mighty hands and knowing that all things work together for good for them to love the Lord. In Jesus' name, the Lord, amen. See, we
amen.
Football.
Amen.
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 See, we Sunday, you're going to be in Washington. Jets have to win this game to keep things going. You know, it's amazing last week. Sanchez throws 4 touchdowns, and you know something? I didn't even realize it, C-Wings.
Well, it was such a mediocre performance. I mean,
did they play well or did Buffalo play bad? I mean, it wasn't a spectacular win. A win is a win, but you're going to get to a point where you're going to reach that game, and it could easily happen with a team like the Redskins. I mean, even though they have issues with the coaching, the quarterback issue, they are a physical team. For all intents and purposes, their season is over. But that is the worst team to play because they can play spoiler. What do they have to lose?
Well, you're talking about a season that's over, C-Wings, to cut you off. You're talking about a team that season is over. I mean, the Philadelphia went from the dream team to the nightmare. They lost to Seattle. I mean, you're talking about a well done. In the words of Marvin Gaye, they're not doggone, they're long gone. Bye-bye Philadelphia Eagles and possibly Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Andy Reid, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Andy Reid is gone. He's going to be amongst, I believe,
the
few coaches to lose their jobs. I think Tom Coughlin included. The New York Giants, I believe, their hopes are done. I mean,
you think so?
You know,
really?
It went from, yeah. Well, absolutely. It's, you have Tony Romo is hot. They're winning.
Even if they beat the Packers Sunday, they're done?
They're done. I mean, they have to play the Cowboys twice.
Exactly.
If Tony Romo and the Dallas Cowboys can continue to play like they are, it's like that movie scene where that person's hanging off the ledge and you're holding that person by one arm and you're telling them to hold on, but you see them slipping away. That's the New York Giants.
Exactly.
I told Doc earlier in the week, C-Wings, and I want to know if you concur. It's actually just my opinion, but as far as I'm concerned, for the second week in a row, the only damn person that showed up for the Giants who act like he wanted to play some ball in anger, again, was Jason Pierre-Paul.
I have to agree. I mean, but you look at Cruz as well when they went
Cruz,
to play.
Yeah.
Saints. He was even reserved. I mean,
these guys. He didn't do his salsa dance.
No, they were down by like three touchdowns at that point.
Yeah.
Even though he scored, they still were down three touchdowns. And you might have the team to watch. I tell you, New England. I mean,
right.
The
Absolutely.
Defense gives up a lot of points, but. England can score a lot of points. So,
well, and you said
something
too,
C-Wings. Look at the happy medium. It's
that Larry Hardesty said that at this time of the year, they round into form. They make the adjustments they have to do. If you haven't got them now, you're not going to get them. New England is only going to get better as the season progresses. Correct, C-Wings? Your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Tom Brady, I even put him a step above Peyton Manning. If Manning
absolutely.
Was playing, he can take two or three hits, and he'll come back like he was never touched. Even a guy like Peyton Manning, you take a hit. He's not used to being hit the same way Tom Brady, but there's something about Tom Brady. He never gets rattled. I mean, he has the same look. He rallies the team. He is the true leader of the New England Patriots. I'm telling you, they're the team to watch in the AFC.
I was gonna ask C-Wings. I was gonna ask C-Wings if I'm sorry. I was gonna ask C-Wings if he thinks you still think. Do you think that they can go? They can beat the Green Bay Packers?
Who, the New England Patriots?
Yeah.
They have that potential. I mean,
really? So you think they'll knock them out for the Super Bowl? Like,
I mean, the Packers, their defense, you know, they've been doing the same New England has been doing. They've been outshooting others. They've been outscoring other teams. Their defense has not been like a all that great.
Yeah, but hold on. Aaron Rodgers is ridiculous.
No,
I mean, they're crushing people. They really are.
Yeah, but if you look at it, Green Bay haven't really played this year in adverse weather. Tom Brady had full snow. Aaron Rodgers really, he's not ready for that. And
right.
I'm telling you, New England's the team to watch.
If you look at
Green Bay, though, I mean, they always play. Gang, we're going to do Sports and Death, mic on, lights off in just a minute, in the closing seconds here. So we'll do a little
small thing with the mic on, lights off in just a minute. Doc Stanley, Sports Def on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soldier Channel, Sports Def for the show. It has been a fight night special, the finale. Miguel Curro against Antonio Margarito. Emmanuel with a great undercard. Delvin Rodriguez and a bond burner that was in Roseland that wound up in Madison Square Garden. Live your life today at the same before guard tomorrow. Life's most persistent, the most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Service to others is the room you pay for your space on earth. Doc Stanley and the crew, trust in God.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soldier Channel, Sports and Depth of the show. We're going to do a little Sports and Depth with the mic on, lights off. You know the crew, we can go all night long. We're going to come right back and jump at Sea Wings, and everybody's got a whole bunch of football questions for him. Sea Wings, you're telling me Rodgers can't play in the cold weather like Brady, and he's in Green Bay. He's been sitting behind
Schedule, Doc.
Huh?
He's had an easy schedule, easier than Tom Brady. That's what Sea Wings is saying. I piggyback on what he's saying. His schedule has not been as rough.
So now, besides being this astute boxing person, you're also a psychological mind reader.
Let me piggyback on Sea Wings. He talked about Brady.
Uh-huh.
Now, I look at the quarterbacks, and I look how cool on the fire Tom Brady is. If you look at him this past Sunday in particular, you see how he is in that pocket, and I count the seconds, 7, 8, 9, 10, and he's in that pocket, he's settled, and he's looking at the field. And did you see him with his free, non-throwing hand, how he's directing the receivers? Do you people pick that up?
Dusty, you and Sea Wings have brought up some, and it's amazing how you can see something and you don't see it. And you talk about the ability of Brady to take a hit and it doesn't rattle him. And I remember as a kid playing in the park, and we're playing defense, and what happened was one of the guys used to say, "Hey man, you know, if you can't take it, don't dish it out."
Exactly. But this man here, he gets rattled. Sure, he gets knocked. In fact, they loosen up the braces that he had on his left leg. But the man gets up and he's looking and he's directing where the guy is going and telling him with his finger signals, "Okay, now be ready. This is going." And boom, a spiral without any quivering all the way down the field into the receiver's hand. That's cool. That's a general that knows exactly how to move his troops.
I'm thinking about what you said, Dusty, in the game against the Giants.
Yeah.
4th and 8, he didn't get the first down. He got the touchdown.
Guys. Breaking news. Klitschko is in the hospital.
What?
Uh-oh.
Yes.
What happened to him, Lady A?
Vladimir Klitschko is hospitalized, and he has been hospitalized with abdominal pains in Berlin, according to the Berlin Associated Press.
Oh, crap.
Now, also, did Muhammad Ali go to the hospital today?
I'm not getting that. I'm just getting that Vladimir is in the hospital. He's been hospitalized with a severe abdominal pains.
Holy crap. And David
Hayes displaying symptoms of renal colic, a pain commonly caused by kidney stones.
Oh, wow.
He was scheduled to fight against Jean Marmec on the 10th.
He's set to undergo some sort of surgery for his throat, some polyps.
Yeah, Rivera.
Yeah, and he, and I like the way he put it. The doctors, they didn't find anything positive as far as any cancer, anything like that. But he said nothing is simple when it comes to surgery.
Mm,
he's very optimistic. probably I would say the greatest relief pitcher ever to play the game.
The greatest closer, bar none. Nobody. And the amazing thing about him, I remember they had him as a setup man. And, you know, same thing at that particular time.
Yeah.
Joe Torre came to the Yankees. There was question about his ability to manage the Yankees. Who is Joe Torre? And when Mariano came, he was a starting pitcher. I remember him breaking in the glove. We laughed about him breaking in the glove, and he was a setup man for Wetland. And the big question was, you know, who was going to be the closer when Wetland left?
Yep.
And now, not only has that question been answered, it's been answered in a manner that it'll be unsurpassed. I don't think anybody else is ever going to be the kind of closer that he has been. He's been the big reason why the Yankees have been successful in a lot of ways. I read articles that said, you know, the most valuable player on the Yankees has been none other than Mariano Rivera. You know, a team comes in there, and, you know, if we don't get to Dusty by the first 5 or 6 innings, you know, if we can't get to Doc and C-Wings, you know, well, then you know, if Doc leaves in the 8th with a 3-run lead, if Dusty's up 4-0, here comes Mariano. Hey, you know what? We lost. This game is over. And he's done a great job. I said he's been one of the 4 great things about Panama, the Canal, you know, Duran, Rod Carew, and Mariano Rivera.
What's so great about Rivera, Doc, is that not only has he been consistently great over the years, but he makes it look easy.
Hmm.
Oh,
you know, so much in the manner of the cool and the smoothness of the likes of Oscar Robertson, the smoothness of Joe DiMaggio, the smoothness of George Gervin. You know, it just looks like
my
guy.
You
know,
Doc, just to add some of you guys, were talking about earlier. You know, also about people being released and people retiring. You know, let's talk about McNabb. He was released yesterday.
Yeah. Unconditionally. Nobody, no takers.
Let's go, Jets.
So he should come
to
the Jets.
He actually asked for that, too.
He
said it was mutual.
Well, I'm going to tell something. And me and C-Wings got into this yesterday. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports and Depth of the show. It's Sports and Depth with the mic on, lights off. And you know, we talked about this yesterday, you know. And the seriousness of this is that, you know, New York City has never embraced or been crazy about bringing in African-American athletes. I mean, you know, you look at past situations. I mean, how did Dave Winfield and Reggie Jackson get run out of town? I mean, Jeff Blake was the backup quarterback for the Jets for the longest time. He had to leave town before he could get a chance to play. Red Holtzman did not want Earl Monroe on the Knicks. Did not want, I mean, because he thought Earl would break up the chemistry. But, I mean, you know, New York... Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and we talked about this yesterday. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar told Milwaukee, I want to go to New York. When he found out New York didn't want him, then he said L.A. became a factor in the picture. But it wasn't L.A. and New York. It was Nueva York, Somente. It was New York. I mean, you know, New York.
Exactly.
You know, people talk about this and that. New York has never embraced. If they have you. Walt Frazier said, I only became a star on the Knicks because after Willis got hurt, they needed somebody else to pick up the offense. Otherwise, he'd have been the still point guard, as they say today. Not good on them. They ran Mark Jackson out of town. What did Mark Jackson do? He won the Rookie of the Year.
Absolutely.
Broke Oscar Robertson's assist record. Anytime you can utter somebody's name in the same breath with Oscar Robertson, I mean, Jackson, if Jackson was a white basketball player, he would have got the job over D'Antoni. I mean,
Kiki Vandeweghe back in the day.
D'Antoni, what has the, I mean, you look at Julius
Kiki Vandeweghe,
bro. You look at Julius Erving. Okay, here's a story. You know, Roy Bowe offered Michael Burke Julius Erving. He said, look, I owe you $1 million indemnity, but I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll give you Doc, and that'll sell everything. And Mike Burke said, because I asked Mike Burke personally, did this happen, that when you offered Julius Erving and you turned it down, and he said, yeah. And his response was, check this out, it would be unfair to the New York Net fans. Now, this was fans, right, who were not coming to a World Championship team's game. This were fans who were not coming to watch the greatest basketball player of his era, and that Julius Erving, and not Michael Jordan, was the greatest player that ever played in the ABA. There was a guy who was coming to the Island of Games, and they asked them, they said, hey, you got the Islanders here. This is a last-place team, and you have a first-place team. What's bring you to the game? He says, hey, white faces. Okay? He says,
right.
I don't know anything about hockey, but I'll learn what white faces, okay? New York, Bo, Urban Wiener, set the bow. You know, there are 15 guys making more money than Julius Erving. There's something wrong with that picture. To show you the mindset of Bo, I heard Bo say to Turquoise Erving, how you doing, Violet? And I turned to Turquoise and I said, and you know, Turquoise, my daughter is named after. She said, my daughter's a girl. I said, Turquoise, what did he call you? She said, Violet. I thought it was some kind of code or nickname. She said, no, he always calls me Violet. I said, whoa. This is the wife. I'm not only your best player, but the best player in the game. This is the, and you don't know her first name after 3 years. You're calling her Violet, okay? And then Erwin said, "Look, this is what we want. You know, Julius, Turquoise told me. Julius told Bo, look, give me a contract this year for next year, and you have to start paying me to next year, and I'll just play for the meal money." He said, "Bo, I can't do it." He said, "Okay, tell you what, give me a piece of paper that you'll consider giving me a contract next year." Bo said, "I can't do it." He said, "Okay, I tell you what, give me a handshake deal that you will consider." No, I can't do it.
You can't do it.
I mean, Doc Good.
That's pressure.
Doc Good.
That's
Doc
pressure.
Good needed 2 games to win 200 games. You mean to tell me there was no team in baseball who let Doc Gooden win 2 games?
Exactly.
2 games.
Well, Doc, if you go back to the Pittsburgh Pirates. I think was after Clemente or during a Clemente, you know, the attendance started to go down. Why? Because there weren't enough milkshakes in the team, man. Vanilla milkshakes, I mean, there was Stargio and all them guys. I mean, it was like, man, you don't need your sunglasses here, man, because they're all dark.
You know, Dusty, you say something I'll never forget Gary Ward told me. And I see Gary Ward telling me now with the Yankees. And he said the Yankees want to win with a certain type of player, which meant non-players of color.
Exactly. In the day, Doc, the great author George Rush Jr. basically said the same thing about the Mets after they were in such a rush to break up that championship 86 team.
Exactly. And look what happened with the management of the Yankees. I mean, Willie Randolph should have been there after Torrey, and look who they pick up, man. That scrub from the top of the Florida Marlins, man.
And you know what, you bring up a point that Audrey Chambliss had said, because her husband got fired as batting coach, when the team won the World. How do you fire the batting coach of the world champion Yankees?
Well, you guys don't even have to go that far. You guys remember Gary Sheffield actually bringing stuff to light in a controversial interview years ago, and all of a sudden he was black labeled, talking about certain players on the Yankees.
He said something too, Lady A. He said two things. You go back to Willie. Here's a guy who gets fired on the road, in the midst of a winning streak, on the road, in the midst of a winning streak, and then you dovetail on that. What Audrey said, she said, you know, they got rid of Willie, and they got rid of her husband, so if Joe left, they couldn't get the job by deduction.
I've never known any manager in any professional sports, football, baseball, basketball, to get fired on a road game.
They
only wait till you come back home, call you in the office, and that's it. I can't remember. I don't know if the panel.
Or they would tell
you,
right,
that's just common courtesy.
Leave the team and fly home. I mean, not only that, Willie got fired on the road in the midst of a winning streak. I mean, he got fired
on
the road.
And Willie had to come home by himself.
That's crazy.
He had to take his own red
lift
eye.
That barge, tote that bell, get a little drunk, and you land in jail.
I'm telling you, man. I mean,
the Mets haven't had good luck after that. I mean, if you look at it, then
I was through with
financial
the Mets
ruin.
Well, not only that, you know, the Mets, Miss Jane Payson, Horace Stoneham, they tell the story of Horace Stoneham calling Willie Mays. So, Willie, Hank Aaron signed the contract. to be the highest player in baseball. I don't think anybody should make more money than Willie Mays, so I'm going to tip. Willie said, no, that's no problem. Horace Stone traded Willie to the Mets because Miss Jane Payson said, send Willie to me, and I will make sure Willie's taken care of for the rest of his life. You know, and Cleon Jones said, you know, Willie's only here because, you know, they love Willie. When Mrs. Joan Payson died, the Mets asked Willie, what's your function around here? Willie Mays, who led the league in home runs, who led the league in batting, who's the only home run hitter to ever lead the league in stolen bases, the greatest player ever played, and you asking Willie Mays, what is his job? Hey, when they let Willie Mays go, I was done with him. When they let Willie Randolph go, I have never thought about him again. And these are the same old things that we, you know, as all the things change, they remain the same. And that great line by Don King, only in America. Gang, we got about.
I know, Doctor. Piggyback off that, Doc. Same things happened to the Yankees, Doc. Many years before that, I had heard, I believe, remember reading, and Dusty, you'll probably be up on this also, that they only agreed to let actually one of my favorite Yankees, Oscar Gamble, come in if he agreed to cut his fro.
Yeah, if he cut his fro, he would come in and become the right fielder. And
yeah,
Oscar said, no, I can't cut
that
this
off.
Yeah,
they said, hey, man, we want you to bring you over here, but you got to cut that out, bro.
Yeah, he got to cut it off.
You know, in the words of Harold Weston, sad and touchy. But, you know, as often as things change, they remain the same in this country. And you know what? On this panel, Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake, with the Network Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports Network, the show, Sports Network with the mic on, lights off, Lady A, Dusty, Sea Wings, myself, civil service workers, okay? You know, and we have seen in our invocations the constant racism that is attributed to the lifestyle of the jobs that we have, and that is inflicted redundantly, routinely, the way it is done against minorities. And, you know, I remember that great line Dusty said when he first went as a rookie fireman. when he walked to the firehouse, the first thing somebody said was, oops, there goes the neighborhood. I mean, in his case, they were right, but, you know, I mean, yeah, sometimes they're right. They're right sometimes, you know. But you know, it just doesn't change, and you know, and sports is always another barometer. The military, anytime you deal in a civilian military setting, which is like the police department, you see blatant overt racism, and you see it. I mean, Girardi had a losing season and got fired, and only in America could you be manager of the year with a losing team and get fired. Losing team and get fired. How does this happen? It happens if you're white. Willie Randolph leads his team.
The same year, Willie Randolph brings the scrubs of the National League to World Series contention, and he gets beat out by Girardi.
Hey, Dusty, you know, you got me. I'll never forget what Ricky Henderson told me one time. Ricky Henderson said Reggie Jackson told him, don't do too much, because they'll expect it every year.
Well, did you know that Magic Johnson is in his investment company team is looking to buy the Los Angeles Dodgers?
Who is it?
Wow.
Reggie Jackson?
Magic Johnson.
Magic Johnson. What a great human being. I can't say enough about Irving. And it's amazing, you know, Reggie Jackson was married to a Latin lady that looked white, and the Mets told Reggie Jackson from the jump, and his agent, and Reggie was number two, we're not going to draft him because he has a white. The Vic Power piece. Vic Power was going to be the first black Yankee minority, but Vic Power married a Cubana who looked like a Blanquita, and they said, no, can't have that. Can't have that.
Well, the funny thing about it is that Reggie, he married his college sweetheart, was Mexican, and people don't know that Reggie is half Mexican.
They're half Mexican, half Philippine.
Yeah, and he's half Mexican, and when he came to the Mets says, no good. That's why he wound up, I think it was the Oakland A's.
Oakland A's.
Because
New York MVP and three World Championships in a row. Three in a row.
But Doc, if you look at the different sports, we talk baseball, we talk basketball, but you could even ask Rooney in the sport, in the world of professional wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the early 30s and Ray the Crippler
right.
Stevens and all of these guys, there were no minority champions. I mean,
absolutely.
For a while. I mean, I think Rooney, was it Rocky Johnson? The Rock's
the first
father
tag team champions, in the early 80s when they actually allowed Rocky Johnson.
Yeah, you had guys like Sailor Art Thomas and Bobo Brazil. And now, Rooney, was Bobo Brazil from Brazil?
I believe he was, Doc, and he was a big guy, like 6'6", 270, 275, a big guy.
And you see what, by allowing Bobo Brazil to wrestle, you weren't really allowing a black African-American to wrestle as you were allowing a foreigner to wrestle.
Let me tell you, he really made a giant breakthrough in the world of wrestling back in the day, Doc. As C. Wings was saying, they allowed, quote, Rocky Johnson, who, by the way, is the father of the current babyface, The Rock, and a guy named Tony Atlas, Mr. USA Tony Atlas, to hold the world, at the time it was the Worldwide Wrestling Federation Tag Team Champions, for all of about 3 weeks, okay? So even though they officially made history, you know, they let them hold the belt for about 3 weeks before basically forcing them to give it up. Who really made history, and I'll keep this short, back in the day, was a former ball player, I think he played for the Houston Oilers in pro football, named Ernie the Cat Ladd, all of 6'9", about 330 pounds.
Oh, Ernie Ladd,
The breakthrough that he made at the time was, and this was a breakthrough for a black man in wrestling, was that he could be a villain, a bad guy in his home of Houston where he lived, a good guy in his home of Houston, a baby face in Houston where he lived, and a bad guy every place else. And that was considered something of a breakthrough for a black man to basically be able to be a baby face or a heel where and when he pleased.
Yeah, but Coco, wasn't Pedro Morales an Intercontinental Champion for a while, too?
He was the first Puerto Rican.
Thank you.
And the first Puerto Rican World Wrestling Federation champion. And Lady A, tell me if I'm pronouncing this right. I believe Culebra, Puerto Rico.
Culebra.
Culebra, Puerto Rico.
Yes.
The first Worldwide Wrestling Federation.
Make sure you get it right, or Dusty's going to get Puerto Rican angry. Okay.
Hey, calm down. hey, this is still a American speaking program. Okay, so meet, calm down.
but really, did he Pedro Morales, I think, he paved the way for Latin wrestlers, and he was followed closely,
yes.
Was it by Tito Santana?
Yeah.
Was the next
bigger
name? I mean,
he's a Tito Santana. Just a whole slew of, Latino, superstars. The great Eric, the late great Eddie Guerrero. One of the old time absolute positive greats. Let me tell you who the New York State Athletic Commission, the great mass wrestler Mel Mascara. Back in the day, the New York State Athletic Commission had a rule that said you could not have a mask covering your face during wrestling events.
Yes.
The front nose, the lips, and the eyes had to be clearly shown. Well, Mascara was so well known and so respected over the world that they waived that rule when he came into Madison Square Garden. So he obviously wasn't going to show his face, and they waived the rule for him.
Mm. Wow.
So, again, we've got to slide out here because we don't want to get cut off here. Doc Stanley,
okay.
Sports Depth on the Blake Rainbow Solar Channel. Sports Depth is a show. It's been a fight final, but as always, so much education here. Wrestling, the acknowledgement of the wishes of the mother of the outstanding Latin fighter Miguel Cotto. Sea Wings with a best football insight unmatched. And Big C, you still with us?
Oh, yeah, still here.
Okay. Big C, any last thoughts while we're closing out here?
No, every time I listen to the show or sit behind the controls, it's just a learning experience. And I'm just floored by everything that you guys know.
So we're thrilled by you having you up in the controls.
I'm a fan of Sports In Depth.
Hey, well, we're glad to have you on the show. Mel Cosell.
Hey, Doc. I just want to say thank you again. It's always a pleasure and an honor to be on the show and be among this incredible cast and crew. The show is just flat out awesome. It's just as simple as that. And I'm hoping that the many, many fans around the world of the Sports and Depth Nation will have happy holidays and tell a friend.
Lady A.
Yeah, I just want to say that I hope that everybody's going to be watching tomorrow because there's going to be a lot of fireworks going on tomorrow at Madison Square Garden. Doc, I'm happy that we're going to be able to enjoy that moment together. You know, you've definitely been a blessing to me and Sea Wings, especially for the holiday season. You know, I know it's a time to say gratitude and to say thanks to God, and I just want to say that I'm happy that I got in with you guys and I'm on the panel. And I want to wish everybody a prosperous and happy new year and happy holidays.
Ditto, ditto. Dustin, say your say and then say goodnight.
Que pasa, and I'll be with you guys tomorrow, God willing.
No Latin Grammys tomorrow, Dustin?
No, I'm putting the Latin Grammys because I have the Oscars tomorrow. Oscar Coto and Oscar Margarito. And let me tell you something. I mean, this is going to be something for the Aces, and I'm glad we were able to share it together and see it tomorrow. And whoever wins with, I am compassionate as I am very intense that I really do not want, I hope and pray to God, that Margarito gets seriously injured, loses his sight. I mean, I can dislike the man for all that I've said before, but in this business, it's a hurt business. I hope nobody gets hurt. Whoever wins, wins, and God bless them all. And God bless all of you, Mary, because we share our thoughts and our likes and dislikes, and we respect each other, love each other. We become a gang that it's unbreakable, so and I appreciate that. Así que, bendiciones a todos.
And make sure you bring your flag tomorrow, Dusty.
I got my whole outfit. Shoes.
Hey, Dusty, latest for your flag. Bring some money.
What, my Puerto Rican money or my American money?
Bring them both. What the heck? I can drink a beer too.
I can drink. Okay, God bless. See you tomorrow. See you later. It's already 1 o'clock. God bless.